It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
A remarkable Democratic win in a deep red state. I want to go to our chief national correspondent, Tom Yamas, at Moore headquarters in Montgomery. And Tom, clearly those allegations made the difference.
George, most of the Roy Moore supporters I spoke to over the last month didn't believe those women. But tonight, enough voters did to tip the scales and send a message across the country, not in our state. Now, Roy Moore denied those allegations. Who is so popular in this state, still couldn't rescue his campaign. Just north of us in Birmingham, that is the victory party for Doug Jones, the first Democrat elected to the Senate in 25 years here from Alabama. But not even President Trump could rescue the Moore campaign. Apparently, Roy Moore was a lost cause.
That's an ABC report about a race that was startling to all of us. Not only the outcome of it, but just watching it happen, where Justice Roy Moore, who was so popular in the state, ahead by so many points, was eventually defeated by Democrat Doug Jones. And you heard the description in that report about how long it had been since a Democrat had been elected in the state of Alabama. You hear President Trump often reference this race about what a disaster it was. And others talk about what a bad idea it was to support Justice Roy Moore. He was too conservative. And of course, the allegations against him that came in the last 4 weeks or so were the nail in the coffin. Or was that really the reason that Justice Moore won? Were there other things going on? My next guest is doing an entire project about what he calls the Rainbow Conspiracy, which is a conspiracy to sort of take over the Red South and turn it into something very different. Let me just say that Doug Moore won only by 1.9% of the vote, which was really just barely under 22,000 votes. That's what he won by. So was that an accident? Was that just the result of the scandals, that the allegations against Justice Moore in the last few weeks, or was something else happening? Trevor Loudon is my guest. Trevor is an investigative journalist who hails from New Zealand. Trevor is especially an expert in the communist movement worldwide. And he's written a stunning piece, which is called The Rainbow Conspiracy, How Steve Phillip and His Allies Won the 2017 Alabama U.S. Senate Race. And he joins us this morning. Good morning, Trevor.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for having me on.
I just have to ask you just a real simple question. Whatever made you think that something else happened in Alabama besides what we've been told, obviously? What made you think there might be something else going on?
Well, look, I've been researching what I call the Rainbow Conspiracy for some time. And when the Alabama race erupted into controversy, I saw the players that I had been investigating pour money and resources and people into Alabama to try and flip that Senate seat. They weren't really going to touch it. You know, Roy Moore should have won in a landslide, but when he was damaged, they sensed blood in the water. And these players that I had been researching, they went straight in there. They put a lot of money, a lot of effort, and they flipped the race.
All right. There are a lot of players in this that you talk about in your article. It gets complex, but let's start with the one you mentioned in your title. He's an attorney from San Francisco. His name is Steve Phillips. Tell us about who he is and what role he played in flipping this race to Doug Jones.
Okay. Now, the title, The Rainbow Conspiracy, just to allay any confusion, does not refer to the gay rainbow. It refers to the rainbow coalition of Jesse Jackson back in the 80s. Jesse Jackson ran twice for president, once in 1984 and then again in 1988, on a rainbow coalition platform. And this, in his own words, is how he did it. He you get the progressive whites, progressive blacks, progressive Latinos, progressive gays, progressive Native Americans, Asian Americans, a rainbow coalition. So you've got white, brown, black, yellow, red, lavender for the gays, and that's what they did. And Jesse Jackson got 7 million votes with that strategy in 1988 and came third in the Democratic Party primary. So one of his workers was a man called Steve Phillips. He was a young Maoist radical. He was a communist from Stanford University. Jesse Jackson's whole rainbow coalition was run by communists, mainly pro-Chinese communists. And he was Jesse Jackson's West Coast advisor. So a West Coast student activist, he was running the student movement of the West Coast for Jesse Jackson. But in 1990, Steve Phillips left Stanford University. He became a lawyer in San Francisco. The League of Revolutionary Struggle, the communist group that he was affiliated to, dissolved and all moved into the Democratic Party. And Steve Phillips then married into one of the wealthiest families in America, the Sandler family from San Francisco. They had a fortune of around $2.8 billion from their savings and loan empire, and they put $1.6 billion of that into the progressive movement. They fund the Center for American Progress and ProPublica and many other groups. So Steve Phillips used that money to replicate the Rainbow Coalition strategy, particularly in the South. He put a whole bunch of money into running candidates of color, right now he's backing Stacey Abrams, for instance, for the governorship of Georgia, Andrew Gillum for the governorship of Florida, Ben Jealous for the governorship of Maryland, and David Garcia for the governorship of Arizona, plus a whole bunch of Senate and congressional candidates across the country. In 2008, he got $10 million together, and he put it behind Barack Obama. He was the first man to fund Obama in any significant way. And when he saw that Roy Moore was in trouble in Alabama, that the allegations were damaging him, he put a whole bunch of money into Alabama. They signed up they reactivated the communist networks there that had been active since the civil rights era. They started a vote or die campaign, which was very active in the black and Latino communities and Muslim communities in Alabama, and they pulled it out. They put the money and the time and the effort, and they beat Roy Moore by 20,000 votes, and they claimed complete credit for that victory. And I say they were right.
Trevor, let me just kind of insert some things that people might recognize, because you know the name of Steve Phillips won't mean much to most people, probably 99% of people. Just to think that his money went to found the Center for American Progress, and that is John Podesta right now. That's his outfit. Center for American Progress in D.C. is really the official think tank for the progressive, that's what they call themselves, left. And certainly John Podesta was linked to the hip with Barack Obama and his policies. They are like, I suppose you could say, Center for American Progress is to the left movement what Heritage is to conservatives. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's exactly fair. And both Steve Phillips and his wife, Susan Sandler, serve on the board or the advisory committees of the Center for American Progress. And that is also linked to the Democracy Alliance, where both Steve Phillips and Susan Sandler also serve. And that is a big conduit for Soros and other left-wing money into the progressive movement.
Trevor, wasn't Democracy Alliance the one that Bob Cramer was involved in? He was the operative out of Chicago who organized a lot of the violence during the campaign of Donald Trump. Is that Democracy Alliance?
Yeah, I believe he was. Cramer is married to Jan Schakowsky, the left-wing congresswoman from Chicago. Both of them were active in a Marxist group, Democratic Socialists of America. And so this network, this left-wing network that is that was centered around old Maoist communists, but also incorporates the Communist Party USA, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization that the founders of Black Lives Matter, and the old communist networks in the South, and Democratic Socialists of America, which is 37,000 members around the country. They all mobilized. They're all mobilizing right now in the southern states to tip those blue and basically destroy the Republican Party base in 2018 and 2020.
Trevor, we should hasten to say that as we talk, a lot of the language they use purports to be in the interest of helping minorities, blacks get fair treatment, better lives. Fairness is their favorite word, I think. And they talk about it in various ways, but what you're trying to point out is that it's not what it seems. It is what?
No,
what are they trying to do?
This is what I call it, a conspiracy. This is a deliberate Maoist, Marxist conspiracy using a whole bunch of money to exploit racial and ethnic minorities to set up a one-party state in America that will tyrannize everybody. So these people are just being used. They're pawns in the game.
All right, so in the state of Alabama, which I do want to talk about a little bit more, you know, I have to say, Trevor, we are not even going to go into the allegations against Judge Moore. That's not what this article is about. This is about this particular segment, these socialist, democratic / communist organizing to go in and put the nail in the coffin for Judge Moore and deliver a victory to Doug Jones by 20,000 votes. You point out that actually there were just enough Muslim voters in Alabama that put Roy Moore on over. Can you just say a word about that?
Well, they boast about this. Can you still hear me, James?
Pardon?
Are you still there?
Yeah. Yes. Did you listen?
Well, part of the coalition in Alabama, which was run by former Communist Party USA members mainly, incorporated CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and they boasted straight after the election that the margin of victory was about 20,000 votes. And they had signed up 20,000 Muslim voters in Alabama, and they had all voted for Doug Jones. So they boasted, they took credit for the victory, but really they were just the cream on top of the cake, the icing on top of the cake, because the victory was set up by the Marxist and communist networks in Alabama, and they were just the crown and glory of it.
So this is actually a very complex story, but we're going to talk about it, Trevor, about actually some of the other players, what their part and their role was in it. And as you have said, they are planning on doing this primarily across the South. Are they operating in other states, or is it mostly in the South?
Well, look, they've already flipped Virginia from a red state to a nearly blue state. And now they are concentrating very heavily on North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Arizona, and Texas. They're pouring huge amounts of money and thousands of paid workers into those southern states to sign up hundreds of thousands of black, Latino, and Muslim voters who don't normally vote. And Alabama was one step in the victory. The recent gubernatorial race in Georgia was another. And they're going big time right now into Florida and Arizona to flip those two states.
All right, my guest is Trevor Loudon. And by the way, you can read what Trevor has to write about the left, because he writes so many great things. It's trevorloudon.com, trevorloudon.com. And the article we're discussing is The Rainbow Conspiracy, How Steve Phillip and His Allies Won the 2017 Alabama U.S. Senate Race. We'll put that on our Facebook page. But we are going to go back now and talk about how exactly did they do that. We'll do that when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I thought he would get on the highway, but instead He drove to the back of the restaurant. I was not immediately alarmed, as there was an exit from the back of the restaurant to the street, and he could drive there to my house without getting on the highway. However, instead of driving to the street, he stopped the car. And he parked his car in between the dumpster and the back of the restaurant, where there were no lights. The area was dark and it was deserted. I was alarmed and I immediately asked him what he was doing. Instead of answering my questions, Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breast.
Well, that was the infamous Beverly Nelson alongside of Gloria Aldred, who did that press conference, which was so damning to Judge Roy Moore's campaign. Turns out the restaurant parking lot was nothing like what she had described. The dumpster was not in the back. There was no parking lot in the back. And people that worked there for a long time, I read all of their testimonies, could not ever remember a Beverly Nelson working at that restaurant. Plus, the signature that she showed on the yearbook, supposedly of Justice Moore, turned out to be lifted from a case where he had been the judge in her divorce, and she lifted the signature and put it on the yearbook. But how many people actually know that? Well, not many, I have to say. So that's kind of the way things unfolded in Alabama. And as our guest, Trevor Loudon, said, the left, the hard communist left, smelled blood in the water and went down to Alabama and put the nail in the coffin. Doug Jones, they got behind him, and he actually won by about 22,000 votes, which can be directly attributed to this very complicated effort on the part of what Trevor's calling the Rainbow Conspiracy, based on the Rainbow Coalition methods that Jesse Jackson used back in the 80s. By the way, I remember that well, Trevor, because I'm from Chicago. Remember the Rainbow Coalition very well. Hadn't thought about that in years, actually. So, great resurrection.
Well, that is what they're using. They'll be using in the 2018 election. That strategy is being rerun.
All right, let's talk about how does this work? Because you know the thing of it is, Trevor, the right, conservatives, the right, whatever you want to call us, we do not operate this way. And it's kind of a thing of wonder, to be honest. So tell us how the forces joined together, kind of who the players were. How did this guy from California get this thing going in Alabama?
Well, he had personal connections to Alabama, but see, you've got to realize back in the 60s, a lot of northern communists moved into Alabama, to Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, to be active in the civil rights movement, and many of those are still there. Like in Utah, Alabama, for instance, E-U-T-A-H, little town in the Black Belt, you've got John and Carol Zippet. Now, John Zippet was active in the Communist Party and the SDS up in New York, but he moved south for the civil rights movement. He married his wife, Carol. And then you've got another couple who worked very closely with him in the Federation of Southern Cooperatives, which is very powerful in the state, and that is Rose and Hank Sanders. Rose Sanders was she's a top lawyer in Alabama. She was involved with the League of Revolutionary Struggle, the same communist group that Stephen Phillips was involved with. And her husband is a leading state senator, Hank Sanders. So they are the people who set up the Vote or Die campaign. And the Vote or Die campaign was a massive voter registration drive in the Black Belt, which it covers it goes right across southern Alabama. And they signed up hundreds of thousands of black voters, particularly black women in Alabama, and they made huge efforts with Steve Phillips' money to get them to the polls. And then there was another center out of Birmingham, which was run by a former Communist Party member named Scott Douglas. And they were the people who worked through Birmingham Inner City Ministries, and they did the effort in Birmingham, and they are the same people who helped to elect the socialist mayor down there, this just forgotten his name, sorry, but the new mayor of Alabama is a socialist, elected by socialists, and they were part of this movement.
You know, let me interrupt you just a second, Trevor, because I want to make a kind of go back to a point that we made earlier. All the while, they are registering black voters and wooing them, and they do it under the guise of blacks reach equality, help them get jobs, help them install fairness, just do what's right. It's kind of and so I want to give an example of that because you mentioned Hank Sanders, who is a longest-serving state senator in Alabama, married to the communist you just mentioned, Rose, his wife Rose. But Hank was, as you described, very much a race baiter. And what do we mean by that? Well, I should ask you. You know, when he's been running in the past, he makes claims. For instance, what kinds of things is he saying to black voters to get them to actually join in?
Well, he's saying if you vote Republican in the South, that's going to bring the Klan back. You know, he worked with Louis Farrakhan. He brought Louis Farrakhan. You know, you'd know him from Chicago, I'm sure,
yes.
Sandy. You know, they're probably the ultimate race baiter in the country, who is a racist and anti-Semite. And Hank Sanders brought him down to Alabama to basically tell black people that their only way out of poverty and their only way out of misery was to vote Democrat all the time, vote for the left, because the Republicans were racist and would bring the Klan back. This is the kind of thing they do. They use race, they exploit race to the maximum degree. And this is Steve Phillips' strategy. The Democrats are not going back to the center. They're going full on for race identity politics. They're going to tell black people that they are a minority that must overcome and destroy the white majority. And they're, instead of bringing the country together, they're using division to increase their power.
All right, so somebody might say, Trevor, well, that's not Doug Jones' fault. I mean, he was the Democratic candidate, and, you know, it's not his fault when people that he surely must find abhorrent, their past and their purposes, work to get him elected, is it?
Well, you know, I don't think he's the most extreme Democrat out there, but he knew who he was working with. He knew he was working with the far left and that they were funding him. He Democratic Socialists of America was part of this campaign, and he knew that. So he knew he was working with Marxists, and that did not faze him. So he's got to bear some responsibility for this.
Yeah, you know, another person in this part, the story of Alabama, is there were two black women who were chosen to be like the organizers. It's always community organizing, like our former president. One is named Dawana Thompson, and there's a lot of interesting things about her, Trevor. I mean, she looks, I see a picture of her. She has a great smile. She's dressed beautifully. She looks like, you know, your auntie. But what's the story on Dawana Thompson?
Well, she worked in the Obama White House. She also worked for Benjamin Jallis, who was a former head of the NAACP, who is now standing for the governorship of Maryland, and is a longtime colleague of Stephen Phillips and is being supported by him today. So she was the conduit for the money. The money came into her organization and she funneled it out to these voter registration groups led by the communists around the state. So yeah, so it ties her right back to the Obama presidency. She worked in this, she ran his campaigns in Florida in 2008 and 2012. And she actually worked in the Small Business Administration in his White House. So yeah, this is links in the Obamas, a links in the hard left, a links in the Steve Phillips and his cronies. This is why I call it a conspiracy, because it is. These are people working together covertly to flip states in the South to basically destroy the Republican Party, so that the Democrats can have, who are now led by Marxists mainly, can have unrestrained control over this whole country.
And while I think the people of Alabama may have thought that these were just people, Alabamians, who love the state, care about their communities, what happened was that these are really big guns that were brought in. really big guns with lots of experience.
Most of the money came from out of state. It didn't come from Alabama. This whole effort would not have happened if it hadn't been for Steve Phillips and his cronies and the huge amounts of money they poured into the state, just like they're doing in Georgia right now, just like they're doing in Arizona and Florida. So, look, the Alabama election was won out of San Francisco, and I don't think most Alabamians have any idea of that.
I don't think most people in the White House know this either. I don't think most Republicans know it. Who knows this? Honestly,
Who thinks about Marxists these days? You know, who thinks there's a Marxist conspiracy? But, you know, you've got around 50,000 communists involved in this, 37,000 in Democratic Socialists of America, about 5,000 in the Communist Party USA, a few more thousand in Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and they have networks throughout the South. They are capable of doing massive voter registration drives. They elected Randall Woodfin as the mayor of Birmingham. They elected Chokwe Kantah-Lumumba as the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. They have the power to elect people, and they are doing it.
Because they have the money, and they are organized, and most Americans still think that it's just a matter of simply going to the polls and sort of being moderately involved. Some are very involved, but others are just kind of marginally involved, and they can't even comprehend the efforts to which others are going to undermine and destroy. You know, Trevor, it's interesting because I remember after Donald Trump was elected, and we were all shocked, and some happy and some very unhappy. I remember being in a meeting the very day after his election and saying to my friends, do not think that the left is going to go down quietly or that they're going to say, well, in another 4 years, it will be our turn. So we'll just wait that he'll serve for a while. Then we'll take it back after 4 years working through the electoral process. That's not the way they think. But, you know, I have to say, I thought there would be violence in the streets, Trevor, early on. And in the inauguration, there was some bad stuff that happened. But it is so much worse and broad and more organized than I could ever have imagined.
Yeah, look, they regard the Donald Trump election as a complete aberration because their plan was very simple. They were going to get Hillary Clinton elected, and she promised to legalize every single illegal immigrant in the country within 100 days of taking office. Now, there are between 12 and 40 million illegals in the country who would vote at 80% for the Democratic Party. That would have been 10 to 20 million new Democratic Party votes. And considering that Donald Trump won by 200,000 votes and that Mitt Romney lost by 2.5 million, they were well on their way to setting up a one-party state that could never be overturned in this country. That is why they are so bitter, because they had their dream taken away from them, and they understand that if Donald Trump is successful and his economy is good, he will bring a lot of their base across. He will bring a lot of the black voters across, a lot of the Latino voters across, and a lot of those white union voters out of Pennsylvania and Ohio. And they understand that if they don't defeat this president, they are in huge trouble. So they're going doubling down, they're going full on to destroy the president, and then they're going to run the Rainbow Coalition strategy, and they've already picked out the candidates they're going to use in the 2020 presidential election.
You know, you'd have to say that this whole plan to do away with borders and legalize, and I'm sure, look, I laugh every time they say 12 million illegal immigrants. Are you kidding me, Trevor? They've been saying that for probably at least 20 years, 12 million. And I do believe it's probably more like 40 million. They're going to legalize. That is like the ultimate Rainbow Coalition strategy, is it not?
Yeah, and that's why do you think the Democrats care about illegals? All they care about is their votes. You know, the Democrats used to go on, and they were the big ones campaigning against illegal immigration because it hurt their union voter base. It took jobs away from the union members, and they were hawks. You know, Harry Reid and Bill Clinton used to make speeches against illegal immigration that you think would come from the Tea Party. But when they realized they were running out of voters in America, they realized they had to keep the borders open and pump in another 10, 20 million new Democratic Party voters. That's why they work to keep the borders open. It's nothing to do with compassion. It's all about exploiting these people for their votes.
Which is what they always do. You know, I'm reminded when we talk about what happened in Alabama, a lot of the names that you mentioned, there's a mix of white and black. The white leftists that you talk about, of course, Steve Phillip, they are often the agitators. They were in the 60s, white communists. They were also with Barack Obama when he came to Chicago initially. There were white communists behind his movement. I remember I was there then working in Alan Key's campaign, Trevor, and I remember reading a whole article in Chicago Tribune about how they coached Barack Obama and how to handle his candidacy. We have to take a break, but my guest is Trevor Loudon. By the way, it's trevorloudon.com. That's his. That's where you can reach him and read all of his great stuff. And the one we're talking about today is the Rainbow Conspiracy, how Steve Phillip and his allies won the 2017 Alabama U.S. Senate race. Sandy Rios in the Morning, back right after this.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, thank you all for being here tonight. I thank all the people in Gallant that have come at this late hour and for being here. I want to address what's been brought out on television today by Gloria Allred and a client that she has about things I allegedly did. I want to make it perfectly clear. The people of Alabama know me. They know my character. They know what I've stood for in the political world for over 40 years. And I can tell you without hesitation, this is absolutely false. I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where the restaurant is or was. And if you look at this situation, you'll see that because I'm 11 points ahead, or 10 or 11 points ahead, this race being just 28 days off, that this is a political maneuver and has nothing to do with reality. It's all about politics. And I'd like to let my wife make a few statements.
I've been married to this man for 32 years. We've been together for 33 altogether. He has never one time lifted a finger to me. He is the most gentle, most kind man that I have ever known in my life. He's godly. He's loving, and everybody in this community knows it. These are our church members. These are our family. These are our friends. These are people that know him just like I do. These things are false, and it's ugly. It's the ugliest politics that I've ever been in my life.
Well, that's kind of a sad thing for me to hear that again. That was Judge Roy Moore and his wife, Kayla. And I have to say, just because we're talking about Alabama, I have to insert it. I think Judge Moore has just been destroyed, and that's a whole different story for another day. But in the process of that, the left did smell blood in the water. They rushed, as Trevor Loudon has described, to Alabama to put, you know, the finishing touches on this race. And Judge Moore ended up losing by less than 22,000 votes. Doug Jones was the winner, but he had a lot of help. And we're describing that help, millions of dollars and tons of help from all over the country to take that over the line using organizing socialist communist tactics. One of the big efforts was in Birmingham. It was the Doug Jones Get Out the Vote effort in Birmingham. Trevor, can you say a word about that before we talk about the broader aspects of what's happening with the left?
Yeah, well, that was run by the Birmingham Inner City Ministries, which sounds a good Christian organization, right? But basically, it's an ACORN-type group that focuses hugely on voter registration efforts. And they went into overdrive. Now, that group is run by a man called Scott Douglas, who is, you know, supposedly a good Christian man, but he was for many years a leader of the Communist Party USA, and now is very actively involved with the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, a pro-Chinese Maoist communist group. So wherever you look in Alabama, whether you look at the efforts in the Black Belt run by the communists John and Carol Zippert, or the efforts at Birmingham run by the inverted commas, former communist Scott Douglas, the communist networks in place won the election for Doug Jones. There's no question about that.
You said earlier that this whole effort, this rainbow conspiracy, is taking place and has been in the South now over, well, in Virginia, certainly. Virginia went purple quite a long time ago. So you say they were actively at work in Virginia, which doesn't surprise me. It's close to D.C., and that's a good experimental spot for them to flip it. But other states, Georgia.
But Virginia was done by a group called New Virginia Majority, whose co-director is on the board of the Sandler Phillips Foundation, Steve Phillips's organization. And they signed up over 200,000 new voters in Northern Virginia for Governor Terry McAuliffe. They actually gave him an award for this at their dinner. This communist group worked with the governor to allow 200,000 felons to vote. So they got over nearly 400,000 new voters for the left in Virginia, and that is what made the difference. And it was completely organized by a communist-led group called New Virginia Majority. And they've got a counterpart group called New Florida Majority in Florida, and another counterpart group called One Georgia in Georgia, and another group called One Arizona in Arizona. So they've got the infrastructure in place to do to the southern states what they've already done to Virginia.
All right, let's talk about Georgia, because you did allude to this already, but spell it out a little bit more, because you have a lot of people listening in these states, Trevor, and I think it would be helpful for them to know more.
Yeah, I'm just publishing an article today about Stacey Abrams' win in Virginia. Stacey Abrams, who won the Democratic gubernatorial primary, beat her opponent 77% to 23%, and it's supposed to be an even race. Has been part of the Steve Phillips network for some time. She's also very close to Democratic Socialists of America in Atlanta, which has about 700 members in the town. And she has been doing massive voter registration drives in the black community since 2014. And that is what tipped her over, what made her win this primary so easily. She got more votes for herself than both of the leading Republican gubernatorial candidates put together.
Wow.
So she is a formidable opponent, and their plan is to get her into the governorship of Georgia and put a whole bunch of money into Georgia to flip Georgia back into the blue column. And they believe they've got enough black and Latino votes in the state to do that. All they need is Steve Phillips' money, the Democracy Alliance's money, and Stacey Abrams' organization, and they can do it. And
wow.
The Republicans better wake up real fast, or they're going to see that slip away from them.
And how about Florida? I can only imagine with the influx of so many voters from our Americans from Puerto Rico that there's kind of a ripe opportunity there.
Look, there is. You know, Donald Trump won Florida by 120,000 votes. 150,000 Puerto Ricans just moved into the state after the devastation of the hurricane down there. Now, you know which party they're going to vote for in huge numbers. You know, Puerto Rico is heavily Democrat, and you can expect them to carry those voting patterns over. So Florida is a critical state, and New Florida Majority and Andrew Gillum, who is standing for the governorship of Florida on the Democrat side and is currently in the lead, he is a complete Steve Phillips protege, and is getting Steve Phillips money and George Soros' money and New Florida Majority, which is run by the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, a Maoist communist group, is signing up hundreds of thousands of black and Latino voters in the state as we talk right now. So Florida is very much in play for the left.
All right. How about One Arizona?
Well, Arizona, they are backing a man called David Garcia for the governorship. He's part of the Steve Phillips' stable. He's getting money from Power PAC, which is Steve Phillips' group. And they Their argument in Arizona is very simple, that I think Trump won Arizona by 200,000 votes, but there are 700,000 Latino voters in Arizona who didn't vote. So they want to sign up those 700,000, and they've already got about 200,000 of them, and send them to the polls and basically take that state out as well. And you've got to realize these are the same people who just beat Joe Arpaio by a huge, the sheriff of Maricopa County just beat him by a huge margin in the last election down there. So they have the power to do this, and they're working hard to flip that state, the Senate for Kyrsten Sinema, the governorship for David Garcia, and a whole bunch of other races down there as well.
Trevor, there was another southern state. I don't know if it was Mississippi or...
North Carolina is a big one they're targeting.
Okay, all right.
And North Carolina is trending blue right now. And there's two main things in North Carolina. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization has got a huge power in Durham. The Democratic Socialists of America organization has got huge power in Asheville, Durham, and other centers, Greensboro. But out of Greensboro, you've got the Poor People's Campaign run by the Reverend William Barber, who is now doing a nationwide campaign to motivate black voters and poor white voters all over the country. And Reverend William Barber has got former members of the Communist Workers' Party and the Maoist group Line of March and the leadership of his organization. So North Carolina is under huge assault by the communist networks, and they're already trending blue. So the GOP in that state really needs to up its game as well.
Trevor, you know, I think people listening, including myself, you hear this and you think, man, this is just inevitable. Because most people, as we say often, certainly conservatives, they're raising families and they're working really hard. And they sort of still think that the rules apply. They're not used to dealing with lawless, godless, unscrupulous people. And that's what we're dealing with.
If you've seen the anti-Trump movement since the election, you've got to understand there's a lot of lawless, godless people out there. But the point is, Trump won the election, and they did not expect that. And they understand that if they don't pull this off, you're going to have a complete realignment in American politics. A whole bunch of the black community are going to leave the Democrat Party. A whole bunch of the white union voters in the Midwest are going to leave the Democratic Party. And a whole bunch of the Latinos are going to leave the Democratic Party because they don't like amnesty for illegal immigrants either. So we got a big downside if we blow the next two elections. It's going to be a complete disaster if we lose 2018 and 2020. But if we win those two elections and the taxes keep coming down and the border wall gets built and black communities can actually get jobs for their young people again and rebuild their communities, I think we've got a very positive future. But we've got to get through the next two elections, and we cannot take them lightly. Because if we lose either two of them, we are in huge trouble.
Trevor, the left is already thinking, obviously, they think decades in advance. So they're certainly thinking about the 2020 presidential election. A lot of speculation about who a candidate might be. What's the left got in mind for us?
Well, Steve Phillips at Stanford University was very close to a young black football player. He has funded, he's then stood for election, and Steve Phillips funded him. That's Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey. He also had a very a Marxist friend at Stanford called Maya Harris, who later worked at the top levels of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and at Steve Phillips' recommendation, her husband, Tony West, served in the leadership of the Justice Department under Eric Holder. Well, Maya Harris has a sister who you may have heard of. That's Kamala Harris, the senator from California. They are going to try and do everything they can to run Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, probably with Cory Booker at number two. And she is black, half Asian. He's black. They're going to run full-on the racial minorities ticket, and they figure they can win with 51, 52, 53% of the vote. So that's what we've got to be aware of. So we have to do everything within our power to make sure that doesn't happen, because she would finish off this country.
Trevor, just to bring this back to home, right now what's happening is that the left is attacking, of course, Trump supporters and certainly Trump cabinet members. There are rallies planned around the country. They're just making plans all the time. Say a word about that. And what do you think, how should normal people respond to this kind of subversion? I don't think even we're capable of organizing the way they are. We only have 30 seconds to answer that.
Well, look, they want to destroy the president. They saw he was a bit damaged over the recent back down on the separating children at the border. So they are going full on to destroy the president, just like they tried to destroy Roy Moore in Alabama. So every Trump supporter, everybody who believes in the Republic, anybody who believes in the Constitution, get off your backsides, get behind conservative candidates, and make sure we win big in 2018, carry that on to 2020, and we'll be looking good.
Okay, Trevor Loudon, my good friend Trevor. I've known Trevor for such a long time. What a treasure he has become. TrevorLoudon.com, TrevorLoudon.com. We'll put his article and a link to his website on our Facebook page. Trevor, thank you so much, and God bless and protect you and your family. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.